Today is the 18th day of February. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It's great to be here with you today as we take the next step forward together. At this point, we are working through the third book of the Torah, or the Pentateuch, the book of Leviticus. And we are sort of watching God reveal the law to Moses. The law, the Mosaic law, would establish and govern the society or the culture or the people of God who had come out of slavery. Their identity was that of a slave. Their culture was that of a slave. Their understandings were those of slaves. God is creating a new people out of these former slaves and setting in place the rules and customs and holidays and rituals and laws that they are to obey. And so let's take the next step. We're reading from the New International Version this week, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1 through 7, 27. The Lord said to Moses, "If anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving a neighbor about something entrusted to them, or left in their care, or about something stolen, or if they cheat their neighbor, or if they find lost property and lie about it, or if they swear falsely about any such sin that people may commit, when they sin in any of these ways and realize their guilt, they must return what they have stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to them, or the lost property they found, or whatever it was they swore falsely about. They must make restitution in full, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it all to the owner on the day they present their guilt offering. And as a penalty, they must bring to the priest, that is, to the Lord, their guilt offering, a ram from the flock, one without defect and of the proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them before the Lord, and they will be forgiven for any of the things they did that made them guilty." The Lord said to Moses, "Give Aaron and his sons this command. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning, and the fire must be kept burning on the altar. The priest shall then put on his linen clothes, with linen undergarments next to his body, and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed on the altar, and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off these clothes and put on others, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning the priest is to add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offerings on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out. These are the regulations for the grain offering. Aaron's sons are to bring it before the Lord in front of the altar. The priest is to take a handful of the finest flour and some olive oil, together with all the incense on the grain offering, and burn the memorial portion on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Aaron and his sons shall eat the rest of it, but it is to be eaten without yeast in the sanctuary area. They are to eat it in the courtyard of the tent of meeting. It must not be baked with yeast. I have given it as their share of the food offerings presented to me. Like the sin offering and the guilt offering, it is most holy. Any male descendant of Aaron may eat it. For all generations to come, it is his perpetual share of the food offerings presented to the Lord. Whatever touches them will become holy." The Lord also said to Moses, "This is the offering Aaron and his sons are to bring to the Lord on the day he is anointed. a tenth of an ephah of the finest flour as a regular grain offering, half of it in the morning and half in the evening. It must be prepared with oil on a griddle. Bring it well mixed and present the grain offering, broken in pieces, as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The son who is to succeed him as anointed priest shall prepare it. It is the Lord's perpetual share and is to be burned completely. Every grain offering of a priest shall be burned completely. It must not be eaten. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons, these are the regulations for the sin offering. The sin offering is to be slaughtered before the Lord in the place the burnt offering is slaughtered. It is most holy. The priest who offers it shall eat it. It is to be eaten in the sanctuary area, in the courtyard of the tent of meeting. Whatever touches any of the flesh will become holy, and if any of the blood is spattered on a garment, he must wash it in the sanctuary area. The clay pot the meat is cooked in must be broken, but if it is cooked in a bronze pot, the pot is to be scoured and rinsed with water. Any male in a priest's family may eat it. It is most holy. But any sin offering whose blood is brought into the tent of meeting to make atonement in the holy place must not be eaten. It must be burned up. These are the regulations for the guilt offering, which is most holy. The guilt offering is to be slaughtered in the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered, and its blood is to be splashed against the sides of the altar. All its fat shall be offered, the fat tail and the fat that covers the internal organs, both kidneys with the fat on them near the loins, and the long lobe of the liver, which is to be removed with the kidneys. The priest shall burn them on the altar as a food offering presented to the Lord. It is a guilt offering. Any male in a priest's family may eat it, but it must be eaten in the sanctuary area. It is most holy. The same law applies to both the sin offering and the guilt offering. They belong to the priest who makes atonement with them. The priest who offers a burnt offering for anyone may keep its hide for himself. Every grain offering baked in an oven or cooked in a pan or on a griddle belongs to the priest who offers it. And every grain offering, whether mixed with olive oil or dry, belongs equally to all the sons of Aaron. These are the regulations for the fellowship offering anyone may present to the Lord. If they offer it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thank offering, they are to offer thick loaves made without yeast and with olive oil mixed in, thin loaves made without yeast and brushed with oil, and thick loaves of the finest flour, well kneaded and with oil mixed in. Along with their fellowship offering of thanksgiving, they are to present an offering with thick loaves of bread made with yeast. They are to bring one of each kind as an offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who splashed the blood of the fellowship offering against the altar. The meat of their fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered. They must leave none of it till morning. If, however, their offering is the result of a vow or is a free will offering, the sacrifice shall be eaten on the day they offer it, but anything left over may be eaten on the next day. Any meat of the sacrifice left over till the third day must be burned up. If any meat of the fellowship offering is eaten on the third day, the one who offered it will not be accepted. It will not be reckoned to their credit, for it has become impure. The person who eats any of it will be held responsible. Meat that touches anything ceremonially unclean must not be eaten. It must be burned up. As for other meat, anyone ceremonially clean may eat it. But if anyone who is unclean eats any meat of the fellowship offering belonging to the Lord, they must be cut off from their people. Anyone who touches something unclean, whether human uncleanness or an unclean animal, or any unclean creature that moves along the ground, and then eats any of the meat of the fellowship offering belonging to the Lord, must be cut off from their people. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, do not eat any of the fat of cattle, sheep, or goats. The fat of an animal found dead or torn by wild animals may be used for any other purpose, but you must not eat it. Anyone who eats the fat of an animal from which a food offering may be presented to the Lord must be cut off from their people. And wherever you live, you must not eat the blood of any bird or animal. Anyone who eats blood must be cut off from their people." Mark 3:7-30. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan, and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, to keep the people from crowding him, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God!" But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder; Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons." So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying, "He has an impure spirit." Psalm 37:1-11 of David. "Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. Proverbs 10, 3 and 4. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Okay, let's talk for a minute about blasphemy. That word or that action, that sin, is not something that is in the modern vernacular. Like, we don't really hear discussion about blasphemy all that often unless we're talking about it out of the scriptures. And yet within the scriptures, it's all over the place. It is what Jesus is accused of and ultimately what he is found guilty of. It is also what Jesus is saying that the religious leaders are doing. So is it just like he said, she said? What are we talking about here? To blaspheme is to elevate someone or something to the place of the Most High God. And as we know from history, both Old and New Testament, many gods were worshipped. Like, idolatry is something that we see a lot in the Old Testament, the giving your heart in worship to something that's not real. But that is elevating that thing and putting your belief and hope and faith into that thing and elevating it to the place of God in your life. And so the religious leaders accused Jesus of blasphemy because he elevated himself to the place of God. Blasphemy, because they did not believe that he was God incarnate, or God made flesh, or the human God. And so for anyone to make that claim about Jesus, to their way of thinking and interpretation, this is straight up textbook blasphemy. So even though they were incorrect in their judgment, this is what they were accusing Jesus of. Jesus, in their view, was a man, not a God, and not a God made flesh. But how are they blaspheming? So let me read just a couple of verses from our reading today. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebul. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. Jesus responds to that basically saying, that doesn't make any sense. Right? Like, why would the devil throw out the devil? How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an impure spirit. So what the religious leaders who had come down from Jerusalem, so we're talking about the cream of the crop. We're talking about powerful and educated Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and those with religious authority. They see what Jesus is doing, and they say he is possessed by Beelzebul. So they are essentially saying that God made flesh is possessed by the devil, and it is the devil giving God made flesh the power to do these signs and wonders. They are crediting the devil for what God is doing, and they are calling God made flesh, Jesus, of the devil, elevating the devil to the place of God. That is blasphemy. So if we understand that, then all of a sudden the Gospel of Mark is becoming a mirror. But what's happening with the religious authorities saying that Jesus is getting his power from Beelzebul, etc., etc., is that they're seeing something that they do not understand. It is outside of their interpretations, and they think Jesus is a fraud. And so even though the work of God is accompanying Jesus everywhere he goes, where else would the work of God be besides with God? And so even though Jesus is doing the work of God, they don't understand it, they don't have a grid for it, and so they label it of the devil. The mirror is that we do that too. If something is happening, the work of God, but it is outside of our framework, we don't have an interpretation for it or a grid for it, it looks different than we think it should look, then often we can find ourselves, whether we say it out loud or we think it in our hearts, of the devil. We should be supremely cautious about that, because crediting the devil for something that God is doing, even if we don't understand it, is blasphemy. And we could say, well, you know, there's just no way God could be involved in X, Y, and Z. He doesn't do things that way. That is exactly what the religious authorities in the time of Jesus thought. So before we start labeling things, we may need to push pause and take a step backward and seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit before we step into that territory, because it doesn't lead anywhere good. And so that's worth giving some consideration to. It's worth observing ourselves. It's worth just thinking of what triggers us and why we begin to say the things that we do. If the Bible shows us anything, it's God is almighty and all powerful, and he doesn't really care about doing things according to the formulas that we create for him. And he doesn't really care about living in the boxes that we craft for him. God is God. God is good. God is love. God will do what God will do. And whatever God does is right, regardless of what label we put on it. And so let's give it some thought. And Holy Spirit, we can think all we want, and maybe we can catch ourselves in these kinds of postures, but to truly get to the root of anything, we need your help. We can't do this on our own. We've tried plenty to do all kinds of things in our own strength and by our own power, and we are not capable. We may be able to keep the plates spinning for a while, but we crash. We cannot survive without you. And when you are at work in our lives, or you are at work in the world or around us in ways that we may or may not understand, and so we just listen to whatever the crowd is saying, then we need to think that the crowd said, crucify him. We need your Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us keep our mouths closed until we understand what you are doing. We choose so many battles against each other that are not our battles. battles. Help us, Holy Spirit. We are so lost without you. And we are so lost when we are not paying attention to you. But we're paying attention now. And so come. Lead us into all truth, we pray and ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. It's home base and where you can find out what's going on around here. The Daily Audio Bible app can help you with those very things as well. And the Daily Audio Bible app can be downloaded from wherever you download apps, whatever device that you are using, whatever app store that is. Just search for the Daily Audio Bible and you can download the app for free. And so check that out. Check out the resources that are in the Daily Audio Bible shop, whether that be in the app or on the web. There are a number of resources there for the journey that we are on. Check out the community section. That is where links to get connected on social media are, as well as where the prayer wall lives. So check those things out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, first of all, humble gratitude. Thank you. We would not be here if we were not in this together. So if life and good news and light and counsel and community is a part of the Daily Audio Bible story in your life, then thank you for being life-giving. Thank you profoundly and humbly. So there's a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. But the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, DAB family. This is your sister Ashley from California, and I want to come on here first and foremost and say thank you, God, for the goodness that comes through this app. Every day, I am able to wake up, and I have Psalms to turn to. To have songs to sing. I have Proverbs. The wisdom of the Lord is just poured out into my heart and my mind. And then I have the DAB and I get the chance to listen to that. And not only that, I've been also able to invite my son into listening to the New Testament to develop the foundation of his faith with Ezekiel. So, Lord, I just want to thank you so much for this app and for leading me here. Brian, Jill, Ezekiel, China, the whole Harden family, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness to the small things and being obedient. And thank you for that. I'm coming on here, too, to cry out for your help, DAB family. My grandmommy, Jody, was just diagnosed with acute mass leukemia, and she started chemo yesterday, Valentine's Day, and she's having a reaction. We don't have a lot of answers right now, but last year, DAB family, when I called in and asked you for prayer and for help because I was scared about my dad, you met me and you reached out. And guys, my dad is still doing the cha-cha with his recovery, but he is on the mend, and I need you all to join me in prayer for my grandmommy Jody. So I love you, DAB family.
Bye. Hi, DAB family. This is Cammie. I'm from Southern Oregon. I'm a new listener and a first-time caller. I've been listening to all of the prayer requests and often find myself so moved because I can relate to them. But I really wanted to reach out and pray for Daughter of Honor. I'm already getting emotional, but I related to so much of your prayer request. I have gone through miscarriage and stillbirths, and it really rocked my relationship with God for a while, trying to come to terms with bad things happening. It sounds like you've had your fair share of trials lately, with parents passing away and your mom having Alzheimer's, and on top of that, the struggle with wanting another child so badly. And I just wanted to pray that, Lord, please give her family strength and peace and help them get through all of these hard times. It's so hard to see the light sometimes when we are just beat down with everything going on in life. And I pray that you would bless them with a child that they so desperately want and would love so wonderfully. Lord, above all, let your will be done, but please bless these beautiful people who have been going through so much. In your precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Hello, this is John from the UK. I'd like to pray for my daughter, Hannah, who's 13 and a half, who has anorexia nervosa. She was a perfectly healthy girl until about September and just started restricting on her eating and drinking to the point where she was dehydrated and had to be admitted to hospital. She's in hospital now with my wife, Rachel, who has been caring for her, and she's been in the hospital with her 24/7 most of the time and is quite exhausted. We've had a lot of prayer, but we ask that in Jesus' name you would set Hannah free from any evil that is making her not eat or drink, and free her to eat and drink normally like a healthy girl and be the healthy, happy Hannah that she was, especially if she gave her heart to Jesus last summer at the church youth camp. So I pray, please agree with me in Jesus' name, that she would be healed. Thank you very much, and bless you all. Amen.
Hey everyone, this is Casey from Missouri. I'm currently 17 weeks pregnant. A few weeks ago, I had a blood test done, which was a genetic screening, and it came back positive for trisomy 13. I have two older kids, one's 6 and one's 2. And on Wednesday the 22nd is when I'm going to go in for a amnio test, which will tell me for sure whether the baby has trisomy 13 or not, which I'm trying to stay calm and stay positive for my older kids, but this is a very trying time, and I could use all the prayers as possible, all the prayers I can get. Thank you all, and have a good day.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Ben from Minnesota. I've been a listener for about 2.5 years, and I'm very grateful for the Daily Audio Bible. It makes a big difference, and it's like being served good food every day, and you always know it's going to be good. You always know it's going to be there, and you don't have to think about it, but it's always delicious. So thank you. My wife Sarah and I are traveling to Liberia in Africa to adopt a little boy, and we leave tomorrow, which is February 17th. So please pray for us as we go. We expect to be there about 3 to 4 weeks. This process has been a long journey for us. It started in 2015, and lots of bumps along the way, but we are excited and grateful and just really thankful to God for carrying us through this time, and also the wonderful community of support that has walked with us. But just wanted to throw that out there for y'all. And again, thank you to Brian and the family for all that you do. And thank you to all of you who lift each other up in prayer. Blessings. All the best.